First Epistle of John, chapter 4, verses 1 through 10.
Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
The closing verse in the chapter 3, the last sentence, confirmed our experience in our Savior and Lord. We are kept in the awareness of having our Lord's presence in our spirit, in our soul, by the blessed loving lordship of Christ's Spirit ruling in our heart and our daily walk. He is keeping us safe and secured. We are safe and secured when we follow his guidance and keep his word unaltered in our daily applications. The first verse in this chapter, chapter 4, is an important part of our Master's will. Having his Spirit in our heart is evidenced by our doing his will from the heart, not being lazy and idle, not wasting our time in idleness, aimlessness, or lusting after sin. We are not open for our adversary's deception and enticements. Laboring in the Spirit and faithfully following Christ's guidance, we are armed against our enemy. The Spirit and the Word of God sustain our soul. In our fellowship with the other believers, in our outreach, in our plans, intentions, labors, and accomplishments, in our entire life and living, we need to test ourselves. Am I following the Spirit of the Savior, or my personal interest, filthy gain, vanity, and pride? Who is my guide? Who is the Master I adore? We cannot serve two masters. Just because an intention of mine is not an open sin and rebellion, it is not necessarily the will of my Lord. Just because something seems attractive to me is not a warranty of my Lord's good and pleasant will. How can I know? What is this confession that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh? I think Satan is battling feverishly to figure out new ways of confusing the minds of the nominal believers, and as soon as one deception gets worn out, he will figure a new lie. In the Gospel according to Matthew and Luke, we find more details indicating clearly that the only difference in the flesh between the Lord and us has been sin. We all are the children of Adam, born in the flesh and stained with inherited sinfulness. This character of our sinfulness sinful nature we demonstrate as soon as we are able to do any good or evil. The Lord Jesus had a sinless body, mind, and heart. His whole being is free from any stain of sin. The testing in the wilderness, in Matthew 4:1 and in Luke 4:2, is indicating our Lord's experience in the flesh like ours, but sinless. The first part of John 4 confirmed this fact. Looking from another angle, I can only imagine the great impact sin had on our body ever since the first transgression. I cannot know what the experience of sinless living is. I think our habitual sin, hardly noticed by us and our fellow sinners, must have been a grief to his pure and holy soul. Some insignificant commodities so important to us could have meant nothing to him. It's a mystery to me. Observing the nominal believers, I perceive the evil spirit would like us to think and believe anything but the plain gospel truth. The great suffering on Golgotha was not physical. Perhaps Jesus did not feel as much as any one of us would. Maybe he was not the Son of God. Or perhaps he was a Son of God, like any one of us, sinners. Lie, lie, lie. Many lies, only to dim the truth. In this epistle we are admonished to trust the whole gospel, in the body like ours, but sinless. The Lord Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary and lived among us on this earth. In his body like ours, but sinless, he died on Golgotha and was buried in Joseph's tomb. In this same body of his, he appeared to the disciples after he rose from the dead. He talked to them and ate with them. He left to us his example and teaching to follow him according to God's calling to us and his grace upon us. The Father is not demanding from us anything impossible. For all that the Father is calling us to do, in Christ we have given to us all that we need. In the Beloved One the Father is perfectly pleased. The grace of God in Christ for all the souls redeemed is always encouraging and enabling us to do His will. His grace has never justified sin. The master deceiver is the spirit of false prophecy. The devil is laboring all the time to make us believe that all decisions, if not expressly forbidden in the Scriptures, are left to our personal, carnal choice and preference. He is trying to make us think that only the listed commands are for us. If we follow that spirit of false prophecy, we made the gospel a law and lost the Christ, our loving Lord and Master. In the Spirit of our Lord Jesus, we continually seek His guidance. We long for our better service to Him. We desire and pray to become a channel of His blessings to His body, the Church. As long as we pray and strive to live for our Redeemer and Owner's pleasure, we are armed with the spiritual senses to know and to follow His guidance. The Holy Spirit will alert us against our enemies' entrapments. Who are the false prophets that are gone out into the world? The world has been full of false prophecy,
and prophets ever since the false prophecy of the serpent in the Garden of Eden. These contemporary prophets seem to have gone from the false confession of faith in Christ as their Savior and Lord to deliberate twisting, perverting the gospel teaching. Because there is no true gospel other than our Lord's word, the false prophets are teaching their own gospel. In the verse number 4, John is assuring the faithful, saying, "Ye are of God." We are of God. We belong to God's redeemed people when we follow the Lord Jesus Christ faithfully. Satan is raging here and crouching there. The world is reveling in sin and deception. How long? We overcome the world by believing the word and resisting the evil spirit of falsehood and sin. Our Lord's spirit is greater than the spirit of falsehood. We trust and follow the greater. If we serve the evil one, we take him as the greater. That's that foolish and dangerous path toward peril. Faith in Christ and godliness is our victory. Worldliness is our defeat. Our desires, intentions, manners, and all our labor should be in godliness, striving to please the Lord, to live for Him. When we are in Christ, the Spirit will give us the discernment to distinguish between the fruits of the Spirit and the deeds of the evil one. In the verse 5, we read about some speakers, probably teachers. They speak and the world is listening. Their speech is attractive to the world. The world is the unbelieving, unconverted, dead part of the humanity. The great majority of sinners will listen to what is promoting their sinfulness. A smaller part of the mankind did hear and have accepted the word of God, believed and obeyed the Son of God, our Lord and Master. From the verse number 3, we see the teaching of the worldly, carnally oriented religion, that Christ is not our example and guidance in godliness. To them, He is an icon, not the way and the life-giving truth. To the saved souls, Christ is the only Savior sent by the Father to save us from death. Christ is the way of our salvation, our source of every help and good gift. Our salvation is in Him. When an individual or a group hear the gospel preached, they will take one of the two directions, receiving God's grace unto salvation or rejecting God's grace and abide in death. God's grace upon the true converts is manifested by lasting loyalty to Christ and resistance against sin. Rejection of the word is accompanied by accelerating sinning. In the verse number 6, the apostle is giving the testimony received from the Lord Jesus in John 17, verses 6 through 19. We believe the same. Anyone could plainly or merely say, "We are of God." The fruit of Christ's Spirit is the proof. Words alone are not sufficient. We are not exempt from that test. Our faith in our past experience of God's grace is not a proof of our present state. It is vital to be in Christ continually, in words and in deeds, in every activity. Everyone walking on the way of salvation and truth is striving to live the gospel. Every intention to change our Lord's teaching is a step toward peril. Each time we consider a decision, we must believe and follow the guidance of the Word and the Spirit of Christ, often through suffering. Our Savior is the light of the entire world, especially to His redeemed people following His guidance and walking in the light of His Word. He is the living Word of God the Father. As we prayerfully study the Word and strive to serve our Lord, we receive more knowledge of Christ. The more we are aware of our Lord's love, the more we desire to love Him and His Word. His will became our main goal, and His pleasure the purpose of our daily labor. The more we love the Lord, the more we love our fellow pilgrims. Verse number 7 is for our admonishment. We are reminded to love one another because love is of God. We must not allow us to become so accustomed to the love we receive from our brothers that we lose our gratitude and become demanding. We may not neglect our duty of loving one another. Love is the way of godly living. The love of Christ in our heart and life is a strong indication of our new birth, birth from above. Love is our testimony to our own heart and mind, to our fellow believers, to our Lord, and also to our adversary, that we are of God, God's own nation, His beloved children in Christ. God's love in our heart and our daily walk is also our Father's testimony to us that we are His. In His love, we learn to know God as our Father in Christ, our Savior. Knowing God is wonderful. No worldly knowledge can ever be as great, as precious, as enriching and rewarding as the knowledge of God in love. Without love, we cannot know God. Knowing God, it is impossible not to love Him. In the Gospel according to John chapter 14 verses 15 through 24, we can see the real love of God.
If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me.
it is not possible for me to fully understand the language of the heavenly host, but I think we can have some very limited perception that in these verses is the accent of the Spirit giving us a flavor rather than the full intellectual knowledge of the pure, holy, heavenly love, the love of the Father and of the Son. This heavenly love is evidenced in our hearts by permanent selfless giving to Him, and never by self-centered demanding from Him. Our Lord Jesus Christ did not suffer for an insignificant accomplishment. Living forever with Him in love without selfishness, to adore Him without distraction of any form and level of idolatry, must be nothing less than celestial delight. He in us and we in Him, to worship the Father forever. The battle is finished, and the triumph in heavenly harmony is everlasting. The Heavenly Father sent His beloved Son, the perfect manifestation of His eternal love. The Savior destroyed our prison of darkness, our ignorance, and broke loose the shackles, our sins. Himself He offered to satisfy the divine justice. He died in deepest agony and rose up victoriously. He gave life to us dead, sight to us blind, hope to us hopeless, comfort to us sad. He opened the heaven and rescued us from hell, all of that before we were able to ask. He manifested His love and said to us, "Seek to find it, knock to have it open, ask to receive." And now, after that He has done all and is doing all for us, let us remember the words of our blessed Lord and Savior, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Let us continue in prayer and supplication to the Father to make us faithful followers of our heavenly Captain and the true worshippers of the Father. Let us live to please Him, that we may retain His comfort in our daily walk and rejoice forever in His presence. At times we may be walking through suffering and grief, but our Lord is with us always, and He will allow us to endure only as much as we need to receive His entire blessings and keep us safe from devil's enticements. Our Father's love in Christ is wonderful. Of all the souls that turned to Christ the Savior earnestly and sincerely, not a single one was turned back. May the Lord bless every true believer in Christ with love and faithfulness to the end of earthly journey, that all God's children in Christ may adore the Father forever.